with a Christian title. A semi-religious process with a Christian title. And that is a weed that we live in. We live in a situation where so much is muted and the devil is very real. And then, you know, no preacher can change our lives. No preacher can change our lives, but I'm here to influence it. I think that's my duty. I think that's a preacher's duty. By faith cometh hearing, and hearing by the word of God. For after that in wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. So, I understand that is a God-given preacher's duty to preach the word and to influence people. However, at the end of the day, only the Holy Spirit can work in our lives. That's it. And I think sometimes as preachers, we somehow try to, you know, just can't do that. So there were some serious questions about my teaching influences, and especially if it's true that I taught that our heart influences our decisions, and our decisions influence our heart. There were some serious questions out here in this congregation about that teaching. And I want to unpack that some more. You know what I mean by unpacking? Is that true or is it true? Have you given it any more biblical thought? Some of you who questioned that teaching? And then we've had some reminders this week of maybe some of these things. And then I was in Ohio on Friday, and I'd planned to go Friday and Saturday, and some of you were there. There's a school meeting that's been going on there for 11 years now. And my wife said to me, are you going to drive 5 hours for one day and then 5 hours home? And I said, yes. Because she said, why? I said, because I can learn stuff there. And not only that, there's people there, and I can interact with people. Now, we're all different, but one way I'm influenced is by driving, because my mind works. You know how it is? I don't know what your place is, but somewhere you have a place where you know that you go, and there your mind focuses. Well, mine can do that best and well when I'm driving. So one of the ways I need to sort things out in life is get out and get on the road. That may be foolish. I think it come from my drives a lot to Harrisonburg, Virginia over the years, and I don't know what yours is, but identify that, because when you know you need to think something through. Well, now, on the way home from this meeting, of which I helped another man who had the vision. I didn't have the vision, but he did ask myself and 4 other brethren to get involved, and I did get involved. It was 11 years ago. I helped to birth this meeting. It's a Christian Anabaptist School Board Institute. It's parastructured. So on the way home, I mused a lot. After 11 years, 2 years ago, I bowed out of it. I bowed out for a number of reasons. One is because I believe that those kind of things should be given to younger people and keep that going, but I mused a lot. I just really, really did, about influence. Because that helped to birth this 11 years ago, I saw it as a need to get school boards involved and so forth and so on. But I began to be gripped how huge and defining and practical influence becomes, see? As I sat at those meetings, and I began in my mind, am I satisfied that what I helped to birth, the end? See, I'll talk about this a little bit later too. Now, this was in the Sunday school lesson this morning, too. So here was Jacob putting his hand on Ephraim and Manasseh. And we just read that and we don't think much about it, but guess what? Something extremely important was happening. Because if you read the Bible and you think about what you're studying, what you'll find out is that later on in life, Ephraim, the tribe of Ephraim, became quite a proud tribe. Just read it through the stories over and over and surfaced. And it finally surfaced until one of them, and they divided and started their own kingdom. It's called the Northern Kingdom. Does that make any sense to your mind? Is this getting too philosophical? I'll circle back to it, but the point I'm making is, in my mind I was thinking, can something that you start and begin, can it have a good beginning and end up wrong? Is that a possibility? I'm not suggesting the meetings are wrong, but I might be, and I don't know the answer to that. I was looking, I was watching, and I was thinking. So, myself and three other brethren, while we should have probably been in a session, got to speaking about this. And it needs to be addressed at that meeting. And I cried out on the way home. Because, see, things, you can even have, Jacob certainly did have the right motive for assigning Manasseh the blessing. He did. But then there are times when we begin something, and if that motive core is wrong, then we know it will go wrong, see? So just stressing some of those things. So please bear with me in my folly. But influences do this. I'll come back to it in a moment. You begin them, you birth them, you start them, but then somewhere along the line we need to be asking, where is this going and how are we going to direct this? And this is all connected with a desire and purpose after God, somehow. Number one, and I'm going to use the points basically that I had, people influence others. People influence others. This is on a number of levels. People to people, and myself to myself. Not too long ago, I was in a home setting, and this mother, she has a number of children, and she had a pair of handcuffs. Now, I have never had handcuffs on my hands before, but I picked up this pair of handcuffs and I put them on my hands. How many have ever had handcuffs on? It is a strange feeling, correct? It's a very different feeling than you might think sitting here. You just think, well, you're handcuffed. I don't know how it's, well, this lady, the reason she had this handcuff, Trent, is because when her children didn't get along with each other, guess what? She put the one on the one hand of a child and one on the other hand of a child. And I don't know how to explain to you how strange it felt just to be handcuffed. Well, see, we're talking about influence. We're talking about what we are in life. Well, then, this started a discussion, of course, and then another brother was present there. He said he started to tell about a man who worked for him, who had been incarcerated for a number of years in his life. And he was telling about how the prison system has this thing they put on prisoners when they want to transport them. And it does this to your arms. Now, this device was designed by a man who was in the prison system and got out of the prison system, designed this thing, and then began to market it to the prison system, and it became so immensely popular and so well done that his buddies took his life, killed him. And this man who was working for this brother who was telling this story said the first time they put these things on to transport him from Cumberland somewhere, I think, to somewhere else. And the one person looked at the other prisoner, he said, "I'll just cool it. Just chill it." Just give up. You ain't changing the situation. Okay, what I'm teaching us is that, see, we're in this link. You're in this link of associations and influence because you are a person. You are a person. Okay, open your Bibles here. Influence one another. See, in Genesis chapter 3, "And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat, and the eyes..." So, what was going on here? Well, we know that she was deceived and he wasn't deceived. The Bible tells us this. But the point I'm pulling out of this is we really are people. Right? We really are people. We really are. And people influence other people. And their links and wrecks looked alike when Vernon bought these two horses. There's one thing that he knew. Remember the story? He said he didn't know which one was which, and he knew they looked alike, but he knew full well when he got them home that he was going to find out. The point I'm making here about influences, we can't always tell the influences in our life. We're locked into it, so let's just chill it down. And we can't always tell which ones are good and which ones are bad. But you know, if you watch around, you learn people, and you observe in life, after a while, it will become evident. Because that's the way life is. So we have these influences. And we have to determine which ones are good and which ones are bad. Not only that, there's often, now at this meeting I was at, I heard a particular man giving what I knew was a tremendous truth. I knew it. Study the Bible, watch life, you know it's a tremendous truth. But what I didn't know was, I didn't know who he is. See? Well, if we don't understand the Lord and our hearts are not seeking after the Lord, what happens is we can take influence, we can be influenced by people one way or another. So I don't know this man, I don't know his life, I don't know how he responds, I don't know how he reacts, I don't know what happens when things go wrong, I don't know what his church setting is exactly, but... The point I'm making here is we need to keep measuring and adjusting our life and the influences we have by the Word of God. Else we begin to listen to people and maybe we'll listen to something that influences us the wrong way. We need an open, honest walk with God. And a desire to be transformed, because there are so many influences in our world in which we are locked today that are muted. You know what word muted means? They are muted. So someone who may be influencing may be very sincere. And we maybe cannot tell just by looking. Here we are in a yoke. We're in a yoke of influence. This happens in all parts of life. Last week I was influenced, and I watched another man being influenced. And I want you to think about what I'm saying, and I don't want you to think about the story so much, about how does this work out in your life. Last week, Brother Dale and Carol and my wife and I were part of a little session where our son-in-law and daughter decided and chose, instead of taking their son to a worldly secular doctor for circumcision, that they would have a little service, and they hired a Moel, which is a Jewish man who does this, takes care of this need and this right in your home. And I was tremendously influenced by that, because this Jewish man came to the home and I realized suddenly that, and he even said it, I watched him. He made mention about how that he has went to many places to do this work, but he mentioned specifically that he could tell that here were people that were interested in what was going on. I don't know what all he meant by that, but I think he was just representing the society that we're part of. That not many people care. It's kind of like funerals, you know. We hardly know this, but in our lives, in the world in which we live, people don't even pay much attention to a funeral. You know what I'm saying? In New York City, you'd be lucky if someone ends up to come to it. So I knew he was influenced, but here's the point. After he was finished his work, they'd ask us to have a little service and to commit this child to God. And I kind of wish I could influence the congregations that I have part of to do what some other congregations do, and that is on Sunday morning when a new baby is born, if the father wants to, father and mother can bring it up front, and you just have a little prayer of commitment and blessing on that child. And someone said, well, that's the rite of baptism. No, I don't agree with that. I'm talking about thinking deeply about this child and how is this going to happen? And how is my life going to fit with this? And how is this going to be? And if something happens in a child's life, in a congregational life, whenever you know that you could, you know, guess what? Things are going to happen. It's going to get bigger and bigger and bigger. And how am I going to be influenced? Am I going to start something that... Okay, I got on the bunny trail there in the story. So now, here was Dale and myself, and we put our hands on this child, and we prayed a child commitment, a prayer of commitment to this child. And here was this Jewish man. Okay, so now put yourself in this situation, and you get in them every day. It's everything from what you're going to do about your boss to your sales, whatever it is. You get in these situations every day, but we don't always think about them. And it's just gripped me because, you know, here were two Christians, and we were going to pray about Jesus. What was he going to do? And what was he going to do? He didn't believe in Jesus. She said, inside of me, I was thinking, now what's he going to do? And I thought, is he going to be who he is? And am
I going to be who I am, or how's this thing going to work out? See, when you're in the sales agreement, you're in the same thing. Because who I am and how I've responded, it's going to make a difference in the sale, right? It could. Because if I say the name Jesus, I might lose it. Does this make any sense? Well, anyway, I'll just leave that for an illustration. He wanted to pray then, so he gave this child a blessing from Genesis 48:20. It was in our verses this morning. Okay, forget the story, but think about your life. That's enough on that. People do influence others. Let's get to the second point. And that was the teaching I gave, that not only does the heart influence the actions, but the actions influence the heart. One of the reasons I decided to do this, because I learned at the meetings, again, a brother said something that we know, but we reminded, and he said that leadership, and in that case he was talking about school teachers or parents, need to apply the principle of over-communicating. Now, you can take that two ways. You can take that mean overdo it, or you can mean like over and over and over on top of each other. And I think both of those are true. So if you think that I'm over-communicating this morning, then I have decided to. So I'm reteaching it, recapping it. And it seemed to bother some of us about whether this question is really true. And one particular brother who's not here this morning, I received the challenge very well. He said, you didn't give enough of biblical foundations for that kind of teaching. I thought I did. I thought I gave a sufficient one. It was in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and it said that the Bible says evil influences corrupt good habits. That would be enough for me, but he said, you need more biblical foundation for such teaching. So let's think about this. Well, we already read that one. Let's go to Matthew chapter 5 and Mark chapter 18. And let's see what Jesus said about this question. Okay, we know that our heart does influence what we do. We agree with that. We've taught that. We believe that. But look at Matthew chapter 5. Let's read what it says. Says here in Matthew chapter 5, please open your Bibles and read with me. And let's go to verse I didn't read the verse down here. It says, it's in verse 29. And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off. Cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. And let's just summarize this up. Was Jesus speaking about the heart? Maybe this is a definition of terms, but was Jesus speaking of the heart? What say you? No. He's talking about hands and eyes. That's outside. Let's go on a little bit more. But see, Jesus was teaching there are some things, there are decisions, there are influences that do something else. If he wasn't saying anything else, at least that's what he was teaching, that there are influences. See? Let's go to Matthew chapter 6, verse 21. Maybe this one's stronger. Maybe it's not. It is to me, maybe stronger. For where your heart is, there your treasure will be also. Is that what it reads? No. It says where your treasure is, where your choice is, there will your heart be also. Okay, now one of you brothers told me that I was preaching from the pulpit, and I am preaching from the pulpit, and I'm okay with preaching from the pulpit. And I know we have to be careful with that. Now, he said I was doing my pastoring from the pulpit. And so I accept that. But I'm okay with it, too, a little bit, if we understand it. See, how else will we Okay, see, well, let's go on. Right now, I'll come back to that. Jesus was teaching here very clearly that if you decide to take $10,000 and give it to Bangladesh, something's going to happen inside. Guarantee you. If you spend a $5,000 ticket and you go there and put 2 weeks of work there, see, that's not heart influencing choices. That's choices influencing heart. Can you agree with that? Now, I think we could start to get a little bit of itty gritty here and start to say, well, your heart was right, or else you wouldn't do that. Yeah. Yes, but let's go on. We have to agree at least that this biblical teaching, see, Jesus didn't say. So Jesus said, if you decide to make a choice, your heart will follow it. But just hold that there, and let's just keep going on a little bit more. In Mark chapter 16, pardon me, Matthew chapter 16, and its accompanying Matthew chapter 16, Jesus said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. And then in Mark, it's added, it said, and also the leaven of Herod. The leaven of Herod. So we have these two scriptures. Jesus said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Now here again, I think some of this is a definition of terms and what we mean by the terms. About the heart and the choices. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and Galatians chapter 9, two almost identical verses where Paul wrote, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. See, we really, really are in handcuffs in many ways. But this need not make us fearful. It's a fact of life. We're in the handcuffs of influences. And what are we going? How are we going to work with these things? But let's think about this a little bit. And then there's James 5. It talks about the tongue. And then my mind circled about all the stories. We don't have time for them this morning. But just think about the Bible. Many, many stories. Many, many stories. And the reason our hearts do influence our choices and our choices do influence our hearts is because this is the way we are. I used to draw it like this, body, soul, and spirit, but I don't anymore. I think there's some problems with that, and every illustration breaks down. But see, we are body, soul, and spirit. Okay, this is what we are. There's some false doctrine out there that says we're in two parts, but it's not true. We are body, soul, and spirit. And our body is controlled, you can go to 1 Thessalonians, our body is controlled by the Spirit through the soul. Here is our feelings, our emotions, our loves, our desires. Down here is our just flesh. The word in the Bible is, it's translated carnal. It means meat. That's what it means. And then up here is a spirit. It's controlled by the Holy Spirit. Or else it's being controlled by something else. So let's try to unpack this and think about this in our minds. See,
I'm sorry if an arrow hits your heart. If your heart's in the road, then it's just going to hit it. I don't know what else to do about life. That's the way we are, right? Okay. Do you feel different in a green one tractor or a red one? Do you or I feel different if we drive a Ford truck or a Chevy? Do you feel different if you are driving a Lexus or a beat up, I don't know, I'm too old to know the cars. Do you feel different? Sure you do. Sure I do. Okay, so if I were going to follow this and this combined, I would buy a Ford truck. I just think that, yeah, I would. Probably a bad idea, young guys, but let's just use some illustrations here. So I would buy a Ford truck, but let's say that for some influence or some reason in my life, maybe it was a law, I'd buy a Chevy truck. After a while, I would probably find out that that's okay too, right? I see some of you shaking your heads, right? Yes. Okay, let's not get this too confused and complex, but the point that, see, we are body, soul, and spirit. So what happens is, when I make a choice, and I make a decision, there's going to be a feeling and an emotion come out of that. Yes, there's going to be. Now at that point, up here, something's going to happen. If it was really a bad choice, and I've been taught about it, and my conscience has been trying, I should put conscience up here, is trained about that, something's going to happen right there. Either that conscience is going to make me trade that Chevy back out and go back to Ford, which I knew was right, or else it's going to finally say, you know what, there are more options. Right? So now start doing this with that. Now, tried to unpack this a little while ago and I didn't get it unpacked very well. This influence may have come from somebody to buy the Chevy truck who was just plain down naive. He did not know that the Bible taught that you should drive a Ford. It doesn't, but stay with me. See, he may have just influenced me. So there are influences and decisions we make that I don't think were really sincerely decisions and choices we made that we chose to do wrong. As much as I'm saying is, when we make a decision to begin something and birth something, the spirit and the heart is going to need to do something with that. It's going to need to accept it or reject it. So there's all these decisions that we're locked into, and all of these influences that we're locked into. And we need to really be crying out to God in the world in which we live. How do those decisions connect with the end of life, with hope, with truth? See? Okay, I'm leading right into... I believe that since we are body, soul, and spirit, I really do believe in the tech, in the real truth and practical parts of life, that the choices we make really, really do finally affect our heart. I believe that. This is why we have... This is one of the reasons. This is one of the reasons as persons that we need church guidelines, and people who have neglected this and threw it out the window have thrown away a very, very important part of who they are as a person.
I remember asking a person, a certain person, I said, well, do you always do what's right? Well, no, he said, I don't. I said, well, then what happens? Well, then God speaks to me. I said, then do you still do what's right? Well, no, still don't always. Okay, see, now we're going down some thought patterns here. We have to know about, see? So I don't want to over communicate it, but I really do believe because of who we are. So there are decisions that really, really finally do, because something after I do them decision, maybe daddy said I have to, maybe school teacher said I have to, maybe the bishop said so, maybe the law said so, maybe the police officer said so, maybe whatever it is said so, maybe your boss said so. Something's going to happen there. You're going to either accept it or not accept it. And so these decisions and choices we make, that they weren't didn't really even come from a wrong source, or maybe we really didn't even know about it, but somehow or another there's another choice added to my life, and I finally figured out that Chevy might be okay too. Let's take this on into the next point. Truth of the matter is who we are really, really does really, really is part and the decisions we make. So we make a decision, and after a while we think, I guess Chevy is okay. But what if Chevy wasn't okay? And my conscience becomes comfortable with Chevy. I'm sorry for you Chevy fans. I'm using them for illustration. So let's carry this one over into our lives and the lives of our families and the next point that I want to make. And it's this one. I think I'm beginning to realize way too late in life that the choices and decisions that I make, they just vibrate out. If you make a decision to make a change in your life, whatever it is, you've decided that you're going to stop this thing that your parents taught you should always be. I'm not saying you should or you shouldn't as much I'm saying. I'm just talking about you decided, well, I'm finished with that old stuff. I'm not going to do that anymore. We have to know that at that point, we have begun something. Does this make any sense to our lives? Are we willing to accept what comes out of it? Because I assure you here as a parent, if you make a decision, it's going to vibrate into your family. And if it's vibrating at 20 here, out here, it's vibrating at 100. It's like a piece of tin that starts to come loose. Now, this can go both ways. If you make a conscious decision and choice to do something that you know is the right thing to do, you thought Ford was right, but you found out according to the Word of God and the Holy Spirit speaking in your life, and you found out in your spirit that your soul and your feelings and your emotions, and you know, guess what? The same thing happens. I remember loving farming. Okay, this just popped in my mind. And then I remember things beginning to change, and suddenly, I have only 3 children, but all of them were in the classroom teaching school. I thought, what in the world happened? Okay, forget that. The only point I'm making, but the point I am making is, if you make a change, it's vibrating at 20 here, right? Extremely important. And then add that to the fact, like old Jacob, he really did start Manasseh, but that even went wrong. But here, I think, is a critical point. If we make this decision and birth this thing from a wrong motive, And one of the things as parents and people that I think we're not doing so well on, I find it, we tend to make decisions based on what we don't want instead of what we do want. See, so you need to think about what really do you want. What is the motive? So if you make a decision like, hey, that was the old church. I'm like, sure, I ain't going to do that. I'm not going to do that. It's a wrong platform. Because what if Johnny decides the same thing about you? Does that matter? Sure it does. Okay. And now we live in not just a local community. There used to be Smithsburg, and there was Hagerstown, and there was Chambersburg. Those days are gone. We live in a global society. So now not only are we chained to Smithsburg, and all the little residents, and everybody knew what was going up and down in Smithsburg. I don't know what the name of the streets are out there. But I'm just using that as an illustration. But now, as parents and as families, we're chained worldwide. That's really a big statement, but it's really true. It really is. Okay, now here I am speaking. And this thing is going, this is going onto a website. I'm illustrating what's happening. And one of our brothers from Darwin, Mississippi, was in Spain at least a year ago now, and he met happened chance, but there is no such thing. He met a man who said that he discovered the Pilgrimage website, and he's a religious man, and he's a company owner, and he has a lot of employees, so whenever they get in arguments or discussions about some doctrinal truth, he goes and he listens to this all the time. That need not strike fear in my heart, but he named a particular minister in a conference. He said, he's the favorite one. I like to listen to him. He's the favorite minister I like to listen to. Okay, I'm going to finish up. So we live in that social world. We live in a global world of influence. In many ways, nothing has changed because we have this foundation. And in all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. You've heard me teach this before. I'll just over-communicate it again. It means when you have been influenced, or I have been influenced, and we know we have, but as we watch it grow, and as we see it mature, and then we don't need to fear the subject that I introduced this morning. I just introduced it. I won't have another one on it. The next one that I, there's some child training horse stories and one called Liberty Horses, which I want to teach somewhere. So I won't crush this one again. But the truth of the matter is, this is kind of the center of the whole thing. We need not fear, folks. But our heart and desires and interests have to be right. Our motives and intents have to be right. And when we see in all thy ways, acknowledge him. That's a really, really simple verse. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. And when I see that I traded over to Chevy what I should have stated with Ford. I'm not sorry. I already apologize for that. When I see that, if my hearts and desires are right, folks, God can lead us right. But unless that is unless that is true in our life, then we're a semi-religious process with a Christian name, and we're locked into many influences, and we're carried about every wind of doctrine. And we make a decision, and we decide to make an important change in our family life. We're going to stop doing this because that's not worthwhile. Oh, friends, let us make sure that that's really what we want to do
and that our motives and our intents are really honest, and that we're willing to accept the influences and the changes of that. And then, see, that's going on inside of us, and that's going on in the dynamics right here in this congregation. Because we don't always look into the Word of God, right? We kind of look over there and say, well, preacher didn't come visit him yet. Must be okay. No, it's not true. Well, they're not stopping that one. Must be okay. Now, if that's preaching, it's preaching. I'm satisfied to preach. We must preach to each other. We must admonish each other. We must teach each other. We must be willing. We're body, soul, and spirit. We are really, really affected by the choices and the decisions we make. And we make a decision, we get comfortable with that. And we make another one. And we make another one. And we make another one. Where? Well, we've been reminded this week. We've said a couple times that we don't know when our death day is. We know our birthdays. We announce them every Sunday morning. But we don't know when our death day is, and yet every year we pass one, right? Every year we pass a death day. We just don't know when it is. May God help us. And may we seek His heart and His life. And may we also include the brotherhood. Not long ago, I heard a brother wrestling. He was a young man. And he was in John 15. He said, he has the answer about all this dilemma about church life. That's what he said. He has the answer about all these dilemmas of church life. And so I quizzed him some more. And, well, it's submitting to the Word of God and obeying it every single time. Well, I'm old enough to know that after a while, two brothers will be in the church and both of them will be saying that, right? Except the one will be interpreting that you should wear facial hair, and the other will be interpreting that submitting to God and doing it His way will be interpreting it not to wear facial hair, right? Now, either we have two churches, or else we're going to love and understand the influence of God's Word, and we're going to work together. So, I pray that He finds the answer, but the answer is not as simple as submit to the Lord and always obey Him, because He will soon in life find another brother who is doing exactly the same thing, right? I've muddied the water enough, and maybe I said so many things this morning that it'll vibrate where I don't want it to go. God forbid that. I pray that whatever I said that would not vibrate right would fall to the ground, and the rest God would make grow. May God be with us as we go. Influence is a powerful, powerful tool. But there's a God in heaven that stands above that. We need not fear, but we must always direct our ways toward Him. Let's kneel together and pray.